Ryan and Dr. Linda Schubring are the founders of Leadership Vision Consulting. They're an organization helping leaders build positive team cultures, and they are the authors of the national bestseller, Unfolded. Welcome to the show, Brian and Linda.
We are so glad to be here with you.
Thank you for having us on, George. Appreciate it.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, we have a unique situation where we are a husband and wife duo that are also the leaders, founders, and CEO of a consulting firm that has a global reach. We did not anticipate we'd ever start a company or much less work together in one, but here we are. And what I do appreciate about the opportunity is that we are able to come to the table with our unique perspectives, which happen to be very different. And in the work that we do with our clients, that difference in our perspective creates a space for people to have honest and open dialogues about how it is that they can best be the person that they are and pursue the dreams that they have.
That's good.
Thank you.
Honest and open dialogues, being the people that who they truly are. It sounds like an easy thing that we should all be able to do that, but it's not necessarily.
No, it's not easy at all. And we have found that in our practice, we share a little bit about who we are. We come to the table by talking about some of the hard things that we have navigated or the ways that we have suffered. Oftentimes I will share the fact that I am a breast cancer survivor, and oftentimes to survive cancer, it's not just you. It is it is your loved ones that come around you, your communities, the people that you work with. And we find that the more that we share bits of who we are that make us human, the more people are invited to the table to step into places that they don't often pause and think about.
It's almost like giving people permission, making it okay.
Yeah.
Giving people permission and creating a place for it to happen. I think that there are a lot of well-intentioned leaders and executives out there who want there to be safe places for people to practice being themselves. But oftentimes we don't know how to create that space, or we don't know how to demonstrate what vulnerability looks like for ourselves. So we really try to create those spaces where people can feel not only that we care, but they're also able to express that they care for each other. Because these are people that they are working with day in and day out for years and years on end. And oftentimes there's a relationship there. We want to fan the flames of people growing in their relationship with themselves and growing in their relationship with other people.
So when we say positive team culture, we are not just saying a bunch of people that smile and lean into everything that's hard with a happy face. We say positive team culture looks like linking arms with people and saying, this is going to be hard. This is going to be maybe for a season, but we are ready to tackle it together because I know who I am. I know how I can lean on you. And when we hit hard times, this is how we can succeed and have that competitive business advantage.
So that's my next question is, there's obviously a business case for doing this, for, I don't know if the term is bringing your whole self to work, but being honest and vulnerable and having deeper relationships. You've been at this for, I think, 25 years, give or take.
Yep.
Is the message more, are people more receptive today than they were 25 years ago? How has that shifted?
I believe that people are more receptive now than they ever have been. Yes, we've been doing this type of work for 25 years. And I really believe now that there are executive leaders who are feeling a greater threat to their people than they ever have before. There's, you know, when you think about what's happening around the world, geopolitically, socially, within people's families, there's a lot of tension there. So how can leaders create places where people can not only be productive, but how can they be more self-aware and perform at their best within threatening situations, whether that's corporate influences that are pressuring people, or even just how to get along with other people that are on your team?
It does seem like we're on the knife's edge right now.
Yes. And people feel that. They feel the pressure of that. They feel the expectation of needing to balance on that edge. And that's why we feel it. It's so important for us to pause and to ask questions about where are we? At what stage of our team's history are we at? Who are we working with? Who is working with us? Who feels like they're working against us? And how can we use that context in a positive way to promote emotional and professional well-being?
And a lot of time, go ahead.
No, please.
When I'm thinking about some of the clients that we work with, some of them say, you know, I'm a little bit nervous to ask people to bring their whole selves to the table. And we take our lead from Brené Brown in her work saying, you have to have boundaries. You can bring your whole self, but you have to have boundaries as you do that. And we, Brian and I, make a point of not exposing people and not, you know, inviting them to share their deepest, darkest secrets. Instead, we invite them to be known, to be seen, to be understood, not just by each other, but oftentimes when they're saying things out loud, they're saying things out loud about themselves, they are learning new things and understanding themselves even better in those moments. That's the kind of environment of growth and transformation that we seek to build.
Well, I love everything about that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard work.
For sure. That is the work that we need to do, or at least I certainly advocate that we do as individuals, but it's not clear how. I love talking about how Nike's slogan is just do it. It's great for selling sneakers. But if I don't know how to just do it, then I can't, you know, if I don't know how to do it, I can't just do it.
Correct.
Yeah, I love that because that phrase does not address how or with whom. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what our work is addressing is primarily where and with whom are you asking yourselves to be the fullest, most complete version of yourself? Because the where and with whom has an incredible shaping impact on who you are, how you show up, the stories you tell yourself, and your willingness to self-accept who you actually are in the midst of all these pressures.
One of my favorite poems is The Missing Piece by Shel Silverstein. And so often we're looking outside of ourselves for answers, but it's really inside.
Yes. Yes. The certainties from within. I think when there are uncertainties and chaos and change all about us and the external pressures are too much, we're inviting our clients, we're inviting the leaders that we are in conversation with to look inside, to not just the labels of our identity, but where we come from and how we're wired and how we show up in the world and how we want to show up better in the world.
And that's the backbone of the work that we do. We are really helping people understand that in the midst of all the noise and the narratives that surround us, the answers that we're looking for are usually found within first. And oftentimes those places are often forgotten because the noise around us is so loud. We believe that our lived experiences and the meaningful relationships that are in our lives grant us the greatest wisdom to navigating the course forward. And oftentimes people who are feeling so much pressure, stress, and anxiety from outside pressures have a difficult time even finding the space or the time and identifying the practice to know who they are. And oftentimes we don't even have the right people around us, or we're not listening to them because there are people that are inviting us for that self-reflection. But how is it that we become more familiar with that process of looking inward for the answers and then applying those answers outward?
So could I brag on Brian for a second?
Please.
This should be good. Not sure what she's going to be saying.
We pressed pause around 2022 and looked at our business. Brian had founded the company in the year 2000. And we had been wrestling with why our executive coaching had skyrocketed so much. And so he was looking at some of the data pieces. And then as he does, he is writing feverishly every morning just for his own sake and sometimes for the sake of the clients that we work with. But that's just a tangent. He comes into the break room, which is our kitchen table in our house when we're working from home, He comes into our break room and I am on a break. I am drinking my morning coffee and I am not interested in a conversation at this point, but Brian pushes two pieces of paper across the table to me. And I was like, I don't want to read. He's like, just read this. Please read this. And I set my coffee down. I picked up the paper and I began to read and I got choked up because Brian Schubering in a short paragraph had communicated why we do what we do and why it's so difficult and how do we step into it? Because the top of the page read this sentence, and it's the sentence of our book. And this sentence said, "There once was an origami crane who dreamed of becoming a paper plane." And as I read a little bit more and heard the story of this character who is a woman, this origami crane, I started to realize that this was the answer. Unfolded was this book that that Brian was writing, and then I joined him in this idea of Brian's really began to unearth the potential and possibility of a dream. It began to cause you to look around to the characters in your life, to look around at the characters that are and the voices that are living inside of us, whether pathological or not, and to look around at the playgrounds, proverbial playgrounds that we live in, that we work in, that we grow in. And I brag about Brian because this dream was birthed out of who he is and the certainties that are within him. And that is to be an elite athlete, a mystic, and to give the world an allegory or a story that you can see yourself in that can give team leaders and people of all ages some handles to look at transformation in another way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
I'm glad that you picked up the piece of paper.
Me too.
Thank you.
Me too. I got choked up. I got a little tearful, and I thought this is a modern day allegory that the world needs. Yeah.
I just feel that there are so many people that we have worked with for decades that for whatever reason, if it's a life change or an obstacle that they're trying to overcome, they sometimes don't even recognize themselves. They don't recognize their own behaviors. They're unfamiliar with their own feelings. And it's like their lives have been shaped by external forces. They don't recognize how they're even showing up in the world anymore. And what I find myself doing in our work is reminding people that they have the ability and the agency to be any shape that they want, but it might take some work in unfolding and unlearning and unpracticing some of the ways that got us here so that we can be reshaped into whatever it might be that will really achieve the dreams that we're dreaming, that are incumbent and relying upon the talents and ability and potential that's inside of us. And that's the beauty and brilliance that we're trying to invite people into through this allegory.
Well, that is, in fact, a very, very beautiful thing. I love thinking about different transformations, if it's the caterpillar into the butterfly, yes, whatever it might be, and yours is an exceptional one. So I appreciate that. And so many of us just feel like we're, and whether we feel like it or not, we are just carried along by the currents of life, and we're shaped by everything else other than intentionally deciding what it is that we want. And I'm not in love with the idea of privilege, but that we are in a position to be considering those things is very much a privilege because we've moved past just mere survival and we can take a pause and actually think about this stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. That idea that you bring up, George, about privilege is, you know, we recognize that there are, like in origami, there are significant folds in origami that you can never, like once they're folded, you can never unfold it. However, you can work with those folds to create a bunch of different shapes. And whether we come from privilege or poverty, we still have the opportunity to use that shaping experience as a mountain fold or a valley fold that becomes the foundation for something new. How do we work with where we came from? How do we work with those experiences, recognize them for what they are, shaping, influential, not going away, and yet work them into who we are today? I can never undo some of the folds of my upbringing. They're always going to be there. They're always going to provide dimension and substance to my life. However, I've come so far since then through, you know, the shaping influences of my life. And I really believe that there are people out there who maybe just need an affirmation that it's okay to dream about yourself, and to really believe that you have the talent and the ability to become something new through the help of the places that you're in and the people that are around you.
That's beautifully said. It'll work with where you came from. Mm-hmm. And that cuts every way. If you came from abject poverty, or if you're the son of a trillionaire or the daughter of a trillionaire, it doesn't mean that it was easy. It doesn't mean that that you don't need to do a bunch of work.
Yes. And that you need people. You need people alongside you that understand, that can give you the encouragement, that can help you in some of your transformation, that can help you in your unlearning and your growth and moving forward.
And part of one of the messages of the book that is central, of course, is transformation. And also, how is it that we can help and assist others? I really believe that there are people out there who want to help, maybe not know how. And there are two characters in the book. One represents wisdom. I think that there are a lot of lived experiences that we all have that are opportunities to share wisdom with other people that are looking for it. So where is it that we can help others learn through the wisdom that we've attained? There's also another character that represents the person that has put in the practice, the person that has quote unquote arrived, or they may seem like they're living the dream. How is it that we as leaders can also influence those who are coming up? Encourage them through the challenges and the changes and the difficulties that they're facing, because we see the potential in them. There's a role for all of us, I believe, to be members among those around us and to contribute to the shaping of their lives in ways that are only unique to us. Because I know that I wouldn't be where I'm at in my life if it wasn't for a group of individuals that stood with me at intersections and added their own bend or fold to my life, and I wouldn't be here without them. What role do I play in the lives of those around me in providing that same shaping influence into their transformation?
Mm. So good.
I love it. So it certainly, this sounds like extremely valuable and important work. As you're, as a company, it's got 1,000 people. I know you've worked with massive organizations, and then those organizations that are smaller. For big organizations, how do you even start to deploy this?
We start a little at a time. We start with the leader that's passionate about investing in their people, mm-hmm. and the leaders that understand that they can invest in the bottom line and in their people at the same time. And it's usually those people that engage with us, and we do some sort of pilot program or initial opportunity where we're walking alongside a group of chosen leaders. And usually what happens after that is it's contagious, and it's what next, and how do we get in on the development as well? Not a checkbox activity, but a transformational activity.
Yeah, the leaders who we partner with are the leaders that are already thinking about how it is that they can engage and create meaningful relationships with their people, because they understand that's where the multiplied influence is. It's also the leader who understands the process that we are investing in people's potential. We are interested in their productivity at work, and we're also interested in pushing them towards greater performance. So there's something about the work that we do that settles people down and also lifts them up, where they become more confident in who they are and more courageous in how they lead.
You guys are good at this.
good at our jobs or good at the podcast?
Not going to be in the podcast.
I'm assuming that you are good at what it is that you do. You're certainly exceptional at expressing and putting words to really difficult concepts. And it just goes to the power of the story and the allegory that you created. I think it's such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing.
There was an early seminar that I was in, early 2000s, maybe. And the challenge that we received as leaders was go out there and be poets and gardeners.
Really?
Yes. I don't think we've ever talked about this, but
no, we haven't.
The poets who give language to the experiences that we're having and the gardeners who are tending to the places and environments where we can grow. And that image of a leader really shaped how I show up when I was working in higher education, when I thought I was on the path to become a president of a small college. And then I met Brian and all my life changed. And the work that we do, we're seeking to give language to people. We're also seeking not to do the growth for them, but creating some of the conditions for growth to happen and leadership capacities to be grown and expanded.
A language that doesn't limit, but a language that provides light. Language is a powerful tool to limit people's potential. We want to provide a language that is actually creating a light to illuminate the potential that's oftentimes right in front of people, but they don't realize it because they're looking over it. And that's why we're asking people to pause, to reflect, to look within, and to take some risks, to ask for help, and to lean into some of the challenges that are there, because we believe that oftentimes that uphill climb may look daunting at the beginning, but the perspective we get from the top is well worth the effort. And we believe that self-development is a journey like that.
I love it. Well, Linda and Brian, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they get their copy of Unfolded?
You can get your copy of Unfolded wherever you find good books.
Or probably bad books. We're sold everywhere.
We have a audiobook edition. We have the print, and we have it on e-readers. So wherever you get those good books, you can check us out on our website, leadershipvisionconsulting.com. Feels like lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. It's a long domain name. You can follow us on Instagram at Leadership Vision, as well as at The Shoe Brings, where you're hearing more about our Unfolded journey as we are talking about and encouraging leaders and teams to unfold. We are living that journey live time with every engagement that we are in, every life stage that we hit, and almost every podcast that we are on. So people can check us out there. You can link in with us, Dr. Linda or Brian Shoebring, and we would love to connect.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Linda and Brian your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to leadershipvisionconsulting.com and learn more about how they're working with organizations to build great positive cultures. Find them on Instagram and LinkedIn. I will link all of those in the notes of the show, and then pick up your copy of Unfold. Is it Unfold or Unfolded?
Unfolded.
Unfolded, wherever you buy your books. Thanks again, Brian and Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.